How to Achieve It. Here's your host, Ivory Lanoue, renowned angel communicator.
Hello, and welcome to the Angel Room. I'm so glad you're here. I'm a spiritual counselor and angel communicator, and if you're here for insight, healing, or your next breakthrough, you belong in this room. Today, we're talking about something that affects so many people quietly and constantly. The topic is When Your Mind Won't Quiet, a spiritual approach to anxiety and overthinking. First, a quick hello to my listeners in Singapore. I appreciate your support of my podcast. Thank you for being here week after week. Now back to our topic. I worked in the field of mental health for 16 years, so I know the benefits of treatment, and the information in this episode is not meant to replace traditional care. It is to give you more tools in your toolkit to deal with your anxiety or overactive mind. If your mind feels loud all the time, it doesn't mean you're failing spiritually. In fact, many deeply sensitive, intelligent, intuitive people struggle with anxiety and overthinking precisely because they feel so much, notice so much, and process life so deeply. A busy mind does not mean a shallow mind. Sometimes it's an overwhelmed one. At times, anxiety is not simply fear. And sometimes it's accumulated emotional overload, unprocessed stress, hypervigilance, uncertainty, exhaustion, or a nervous system that spent too long trying to keep you safe. And many people carrying anxiety are far harder on themselves than they would ever be towards someone else. They criticize themselves for overthinking, for worrying, struggling to relax, replaying conversations, imagining worst-case scenarios, needing reassurance, and not being able to just calm down. But the truth is, anxious minds are often trying to protect vulnerable hearts. I have a client I'll refer to as Sakura, who described her anxiety by saying, "My mind acts like if I think about every possible disaster in advance, maybe I can prevent pain." That sentence captures anxiety beautifully because overthinking is often an attempt to control a world that feels uncertain. The mind starts scanning constantly for danger, problems, rejection, mistakes, or future pain because somewhere along the way it's learned that being prepared felt safer than being surprised. And for many people, this pattern began long before adulthood. A child growing up in emotional unpredictability may become hyper-aware of moods, tension, or conflict. A person who experienced betrayal might begin overanalyzing relationships for signs of danger. Someone who was harshly criticized can become trapped in perfectionism and self-monitoring. People who experienced instability often develop nervous systems that struggle to fully relax. Then years later, they wonder why their minds never seem to turn off. An anxious mind is often a mind that learns survival before it learned peace. And that realization helps to reframe how we view anxiety, because many anxious people secretly believe something is wrong with them. They think if they meditated more, prayed more, trusted more, or healed more, their minds would become permanently calm and peaceful. But healing the mind is rarely that simple. Human beings are emotional, physical, spiritual, and neurological all at once. And sometimes spiritual people accidentally shame themselves for having normal human nervous systems. A friend of mine, I'll call him Benjamin, told me that he felt embarrassed by his anxiety because he considered himself so spiritually aware. He thought spiritual growth should have made him calmer by now. But during one conversation, he said something really honest. "I realized I spent most of my life bracing for problems before they happen." When Benjamin realized that, he finally stopped viewing anxiety as weakness and started seeing it as a deeply ingrained survival response. Awareness creates compassion. In this case, we're talking about self-compassion. It's important to develop this because many people try to fight anxiety aggressively. They become angry at themselves for it, ashamed of it, or even frustrated by it. But fighting your own nervous system often creates even more inner tension. Sometimes what anxious people need most is not more pressure to fix themselves, but more safety internally. Spiritual practices can help with that, but not by making people emotionally perfect. What is helpful is to reconnect to stillness, grounding, trust, presence, and again, self-compassion. One of the most difficult things about overthinking is that it creates this illusion of productivity while draining enormous amounts of your emotional energy. The mind keeps circling, rehearsing, predicting, analyzing, replaying, but rarely arriving at peace. I had a longtime spiritual counseling client I'll call Danielle, who described spending hours mentally replaying conversations after social interactions. She worried constantly about whether she sounded awkward, offended someone, said too much, or not enough. Danielle said her mind felt like it never stopped evaluating everything she did. Eventually, she realized something important. Her overthinking was deeply connected to fear of rejection and judgment. As a child, mistakes were heavily criticized in her household. Approval felt conditional, so Danielle's mind learned to constantly self-monitor in order to avoid emotional discomfort. Understanding that helped her begin healing. Overthinking is often less about the present moment and more about old emotional conditioning quietly replaying itself through your nervous system. And modern life doesn't help. People today are overstimulated constantly by news, social media, noise, comparison, pressure, endless information, and emotional overload. The nervous system rarely gets true rest anymore. Many people do not even realize how disconnected they've become from silence, stillness, nature, rest, and their own inner voice. And when the nervous system stays overstimulated long enough, anxiety often grows louder. That's why spiritual healing approaches to anxiety are not just about positive thinking. They're about reconnection to the body, breath, stillness, trust, presence, grounding, and to the soul underneath the noise. A spiritually grounded approach to anxiety does not shame the mind for being afraid. Instead, it teaches the mind and body that not every moment requires survival mode, and that takes practice. One of my spirituality class students, I'll refer to as Juliet, said that during one particularly anxious season of her life, she started taking 10-minute walks each evening without her phone, no music or distractions, just walking slowly and paying attention to the sky, the wind, the sounds around her. At first, her mind raced even more, but gradually, something shifted. Juliet said those quiet walks became the only moments during her day when she felt connected to herself again, instead of being trapped inside constant mental noise. And that is part of the healing, not forcing the mind into silence, but slowly creating enough safety, presence, and peace that silence begins returning naturally. We're going to take a short break here, and when we come back, I'm going to tell you about the spiritual cost of living in constant mental noise. Welcome back to the Angel Room. One of the hardest parts about anxiety and overthinking is that eventually people become so used to the mental noise that they forget what inner peace even feels like. The mind becomes constantly preoccupied with planning, predicting, rehearsing, worrying, replaying conversations, imagining future problems, and trying to emotionally prepare for every possible outcome. And over time, this constant mental activity becomes exhausting, not only emotionally, but spiritually. Because when the mind is always racing, people often lose connection with the present moment completely. They stop experiencing life while they're living it. There was a woman who worked with me, let's call her Mandy. She described sitting through an entire dinner with close friends while internally worrying about work problems, analyzing a text message from someone she was dating, and mentally rehearsing tomorrow's responsibilities all at once. At the end of the evening, she realized that she barely remembered the actual conversation at the table. Her body had been present, but her mind had been somewhere else entirely. And so many people are living this way now, physically present, mentally elsewhere. That disconnect creates a deep feeling of inner fragmentation over time. Anxiety pulls you into imagined futures so intensely that you can stop fully inhabiting your actual life. That's one reason spiritual grounding matters so much. Not because spirituality magically removes uncertainty, but because it helps bring awareness back to the present moment where life is actually happening. Most anxious minds are constantly trying to solve futures that do not exist yet. What if this happens? What if they leave? What if I fail? What if something goes wrong? What if I'm making the wrong decision? And the mind keeps searching for certainty that life simply cannot provide. And that search can become endless. I saw a man for Angel Communications, and we'll call him Leo. He told me that he spent years researching every possible outcome before making even relatively small decisions. He thought if he gathered enough information, prepared enough, and thought through enough scenarios, he could avoid mistakes or emotional pain. But eventually, Leo realized something painful. His need for certainty was preventing him from truly living, because anxiety often convinces people that uncertainty itself is dangerous. Spiritually, though, uncertainty is just part of being human. No one can fully control life, guarantee every outcome, or think themselves into complete safety. And strangely enough, one of the deepest forms of healing begins when people slowly stop trying to control every unknown. Not recklessly, but with greater trust in themselves, in life, and in their ability to handle what comes. That trust does not happen overnight, especially for people whose nervous systems learned early that unpredictability felt unsafe. I had a spiritual counseling client who I worked with for a long time, we'll call her Tala, who shared that growing up in a chaotic household made her constantly hyper-aware of emotional tension. She learned to monitor everyone's moods because emotional explosions could happen unexpectedly. Years later, even in peaceful environments, Tala's nervous system stayed on alert. She overanalyzed text messages, anticipated conflict that never came, and she mentally prepared for rejection constantly. Eventually, Tala realized something important. Her anxiety was not irrational. She could see that it was just outdated protection. And that distinction helped her finally begin treating herself with compassion instead of frustration. Many anxious people are carrying nervous systems that adapted to earlier emotional environments. And healing often involves teaching the body and mind that the danger is no longer happening now. This is where spiritual practices can become incredibly powerful when approached realistically, not by pressuring yourself to become perfectly calm, but as ways of reconnecting with safety and presence. Simple things matter more than people realize. Things like breathing deeply, walking in nature, prayer and meditation, silence, journaling, grounding exercises, music that calms the nervous system, reducing overstimulation, and resting without guilt. These things sound simple, and that's because they are simple. But anxious minds often resist simplicity because they're conditioned to stay mentally busy. A spiritually grounded approach to anxiety recognizes that healing the nervous system requires repetition, patience, and gentleness, not self-punishment. I remember another client of mine, let's refer to him as Felix. He described beginning a nightly practice where he sat quietly for 5 minutes before bed and simply repeated these words, "I do not have to solve my entire life tonight." At first he thought it sounded silly, but over time those words became deeply calming to Felix's nervous system, because anxious minds often carry enormous invisible pressure. Pressure to figure everything out immediately, to avoid mistakes, prevent pain, or control uncertainty. And sometimes the mind becomes loud because the soul underneath it is exhausted. Another important part of spiritual healing is learning the difference between intuition and anxiety. People confuse these frequently. Anxiety feels urgent, repetitive, fearful, and mentally chaotic. But intuition usually feels steadier, quieter, and more grounded. Anxiety spirals, intuition nudges. Anxiety keeps screaming for certainty, but intuition offers simple clarity without emotional chaos attached to it. Learning that difference has changed many people's lives. Early in my spirituality career, I did medical Qigong energy healing. And one of my regular clients we'll call Lauren told me that for years, she mistook catastrophic thinking for intuition. She thought constant fear meant she was spiritually seeking danger. But eventually Lauren realized true intuition did not leave her feeling panicked and emotionally flooded. It felt more calm, cleaner, and more centered. That awareness helped her stop treating every anxious thought as truth. And honestly, that's something many people need to hear. Not every thought deserves your trust. The anxious mind generates endless fearful stories, predictions, and imagined scenarios. If people believe every anxious thought automatically, the nervous system stays trapped in constant emotional exhaustion. Part of healing involves learning how to observe thoughts without immediately surrendering to them. That's spiritual work too. Not forcing the mind silent or fighting every fearful thought aggressively, but becoming grounded enough internally that thoughts stop controlling the entire emotional atmosphere of your life. So let's talk about how you can reconnect with inner peace. One of the most healing realizations people can have when they're struggling with anxiety or overthinking is that you are not your thoughts. And that may sound simple, but it can help you create a reality that feels more safe to you, because anxious people often become so fused with a constant stream of mental noise that they begin believing every fearful thought reflects reality. The mind says something bad is going to happen, or you're failing, you're not safe, you're going to lose everything, you made the wrong decision, you should have done more, you're falling behind. And over time, if those thoughts go unquestioned long enough, they begin shaping emotional reality. We're going to take another short break here, and when we come back, I'm going to explain why thoughts are not always truth. Welcome back to the Angel Room. Again, thoughts are not always truth. Many anxious thoughts are protective predictions generated by a nervous system that's trying to avoid pain, rejection, uncertainty, or loss. These thoughts don't make someone weak, just human. I provided spiritual counseling for a woman we'll refer to as Jara. She described lying awake every night, mentally replaying every possible future disaster she could imagine, health fears, financial worries, relationship chaos. Worst case scenarios looped constantly in her mind. Jara said she believed if she stayed mentally vigilant enough, maybe she could prevent bad things from happening. Eventually, during a particularly overwhelming season, she began working with a meditation teacher who told her something that deeply shifted her perspective. Your mind believes fear equals preparation. That sentence stopped her in her tracks because she realized her overthinking was not actually solving most of her fears. It was simply exhausting her nervous system. And many anxious people live this way without realizing how much emotional energy constant mental vigilance consumes. The mind was designed to think. Peace comes not from stopping every thought, but from changing your relationship with those thoughts. Some people accidentally make anxiety worse by fighting their thoughts aggressively. They panic about the panic. They fear the fear. They judge themselves for overthinking, and they become afraid of their own minds. But healing often begins when people stop treating themselves like enemies. A spiritually grounded approach to anxiety creates space between awareness and thought. Instead of immediately believing every fearful story the mind creates, people begin observing thoughts with greater calm and curiosity. They have thoughts like, I notice my mind is catastrophizing right now. I notice fear is active. I notice my nervous system is overwhelmed. That awareness softens identification. And once people stop fully identifying with every anxious thought they have, something remarkable starts happening. Their mind slowly loses some of its control. One of my clients we'll call Lachlan told me that he experienced panic attacks for years. During stressful periods, his mind would spiral rapidly into terrifying worst-case scenarios. At first, he tried forcing himself to stop thinking anxious thoughts altogether. That never worked. Eventually, Lachlan learned grounding techniques that helped reconnect him to the present moment physically, feeling his feet on the floor, slowing his breathing, touching cold water, walking outside, and naming things he could see around him. At first, these exercises seemed too basic to make a difference, but over time, they taught his nervous system something powerful. The present moment was often far safer than the fearful future his mind had kept imagining, and that realization slowly changed his relationship with anxiety. One of the reasons spiritual grounding helps anxious minds is because anxiety pulls people out of the present constantly into future fears, past regrets, imagined scenarios, mental rehearsals. But peace exists only in the now, not in imagined catastrophes and endless mental projections. And reconnecting with the present moment is deeply healing for overstimulated nervous systems. A woman I'll call Cynthia was part of a small group I spoke to on the topic of angels. And later that day, she shared that during one particularly anxious year, she started a small morning ritual before looking at her phone or checking the news. Cynthia would sit quietly by the window with tea for 10 minutes while focusing only on her breathing and the morning light outside. That was it. Nothing dramatic. But eventually she realized those 10 minutes became emotionally sacred to her nervous system. They reminded Cynthia that peace still existed underneath all the mental noise. And honestly, many anxious people desperately need moments like that. Moments where they're not consuming, reacting, predicting, or solving, just existing. Modern life overstimulates the mind constantly, but the soul often heals through slowness, quiet, stillness, nature, prayer, breath, presence, and connection. Perhaps one reason spiritually sensitive people become anxious so easily is that they absorb so much energy from the world around them, and there's an awful lot of energy going on right now in the world. Many empathic people carry emotional tension they do not even realize they've absorbed. Crowds overwhelm them. Conflict lingers in their nervous system. Negative environments affect them deeply, and constant stimulation drains them emotionally. Without grounding practices, sensitive people often become emotionally overloaded without even understanding why. This is why boundaries matter spiritually too. Protecting your peace is not selfish. Resting is not laziness. And reducing overstimulation is not weakness. Sometimes anxiety is your nervous system begging for less noise and more safety. A spiritually healthy life is not one where the mind, never becomes anxious. It's about people gradually learning how to return to themselves, to peace, more easily when anxiety does arise. Healing doesn't mean you're never going to struggle again. You learn that you can experience fear without completely losing yourself inside it. That is real strength. Not becoming emotionless or becoming perfectly calm, but becoming anchored enough internally that even when the mind becomes loud, your soul still remembers how to find its way back to quiet. I'm going to tell you something that many anxious people don't hear enough. You do not need to become perfectly peaceful to start healing. A lot of people secretly believe they're falling apart every time anxiety resurfaces or failing when that happens. They think healing means never worrying again or overthinking again, never spiraling emotionally again. But healing is not perfection. It's learning how to return to yourself more gently each time your mind does drift into fear. And that return is the practice. A good friend of mine, I'll call Jasmine, felt discouraged because despite years of spiritual work, meditation, and personal growth, she still experienced periods of anxiety during stressful seasons. One evening, after a particularly overwhelming day, Jasmine sat outside watching the sunset and suddenly realized something. Years earlier, anxiety would completely consume her for weeks. Now she noticed it faster. She responded to it more compassionately. She grounded herself more quickly, and she recovered faster. Sure, the anxiety still visited her sometimes, but it no longer owned her. And that realization changed Jasmine's entire perspective on healing. You see, progress is not always measured by the complete disappearance of struggle. Sometimes it's measured by how differently we meet ourselves during the struggle. Inner peace is not a permanent state you achieve once. It's a relationship you learn to return to again and again. Knowing this takes pressure off your healing journey. Because human beings are not meant to feel emotionally perfect all the time, we are affected by stress, uncertainty, grief, relationships, exhaustion, world events, hormonal changes, nervous system overload, and life transitions. We're going to take one final short break here, and when we come back, I'm going to tell you how you can focus on building enough inner stability that fear will no longer control your life. Welcome back to the Angel Room. The goal here is not eliminating all fear forever. Just focus on building enough inner stability that fear no longer controls your entire life. And spiritually, that stability often comes through presence. There's slowing down enough to reconnect with yourself beneath the noise. One of the biggest reasons anxiety becomes so overwhelming is because anxious minds constantly pull people away from what's happening now, as I mentioned earlier, and into imagined futures. But the present moment is where breath exists. It's where grounding exists. Safety often exists, and connection exists. A man we'll call Barry saw me for spiritual counseling. At one session, he shared that during a particularly anxious period of life, he started asking himself a simple question whenever his mind spiraled. What is actually happening right now in this exact moment? Not tomorrow, not next year, not in the catastrophic scenario his mind was creating, right now. Usually the answer was something surprisingly ordinary, like I'm sitting in my living room, I'm drinking coffee, I'm safe in this moment, I'm breathing, I'm okay right now. That practice helped interrupt his nervous system's constant attachment to imagined future danger. And often that's where peace begins returning. It doesn't happen by forcing the mind to be silent, but just gently reconnecting with reality instead of fear projections. Another important part of spiritual healing is recognizing that rest is sacred. Many anxious people are mentally exhausted because they rarely give themselves permission to truly rest. Even while resting physically, the mind continues working constantly, problem-solving, planning, predicting, monitoring, worrying, but the soul cannot fully reconnect to peace while it's constantly operating in survival mode. This is why spiritually grounded healing often involves simplifying life whenever possible. Less noise, overstimulation, emotional chaos, and constant urgency, and seeking more stillness, nature, presence, breath, and compassion toward yourself. One of my clients, I'll refer to her as Rose, described creating a nightly ritual where she turned off all electronics 30 minutes before bed, lit a candle, listened to soft music, and spent a few quiet minutes writing down everything her mind was trying to hold on to. At first, it seemed insignificant, but eventually Rose noticed her nervous system beginning to associate those moments with safety and calm instead of stress. Sometimes healing truly happens through small, repeated acts of care, not dramatic breakthroughs, but just consistency. Anxious people often search for one massive solution that's going to suddenly erase all mental noise forever. But healing the nervous system is usually more like slowly teaching the mind and body, you are allowed to rest now. And perhaps spiritually, that is one of the deepest forms of self-compassion. I want to remind anyone listening that struggles with anxiety that this doesn't make you weak, broken, or spiritually unsuccessful. Again, it makes you human. Sensitive people often carry heavy inner worlds. Deep thinkers often struggle to turn their minds off. And caring people often worry because they feel responsibility deeply. Your anxiety is not the entirety of who you are. Beneath the mental noise, there's still wisdom, intuition, peace, and a deeper self untouched by fear. And the more gently you reconnect with that deeper part of yourself, the more your nervous system begins remembering that calm is possible again. I want to leave you with some key points from this episode, and then I'm going to give you some exercises you can use to improve your own mental thinking, slow down the constant thinking and anxiety. The key points are anxiety and overthinking are often rooted in survival patterns, not weakness. An anxious mind is frequently trying to create safety and control. Spiritual people can still struggle with anxiety and nervous system overwhelm. Overthinking often creates the illusion of control while increasing exhaustion. Anxiety and intuition feel different emotionally and energetically. Not every fearful thought deserves belief or attention. Healing involves changing your relationship with anxious thoughts, not eliminating every thought. Presence, grounding, and nervous system safety are deeply healing. Sensitive people often need stronger boundaries and less overstimulation. And remember, peace is not perfection. It is the ability to return to yourself gently again and again. Here's some exercises for calming anxiety and overthinking. The first one is called present moment anchoring. Whenever your mind begins spiraling, pause and slowly name 5 things you can see, 4 things you can feel, 3 things you can hear, 2 things you can smell, and 1 thing you can taste. This helps reconnect the nervous system to the present moment instead of imagined future fears. The second exercise is what I call thought separation practice. When anxious thoughts arise, instead of saying, I'm going to fail, try saying, my mind is creating fear about failure right now. That small wording shift creates emotional space between you and that thought. The third exercise is creating a daily quiet moment. Spend at least 10 minutes each day without screen time, noise, or stimulation. Sit outside, walk slowly, pray, meditate, breathe, or simply rest quietly. The goal is not forcing silence, just reminding your nervous system that peace still exists underneath all that noise. And finally, before bed each night, place your hand over your heart and say, I do not need to solve my entire life tonight. Because you don't. Sometimes healing begins with giving yourself permission to stop carrying the whole future for a little while. Thank you for spending this time with me here in the Angel Room. Tune in next week when the topic will be the breaking point before the breakthrough, why everything seems to fall apart first. In the meantime, may your angels surround you. May your angels protect you every day, every moment of your life. I'll see you next week.
You've been listening to The Angel Room with Ivory Lanoue. Tune in next Sunday.